You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello everyone, good to have you with us. Dave Kellner here, ready and prepared for action on the FWA podcast. Every single week we get one of the top football writers to contribute, and this week no different. John Cross from the Daily Mirror, the chief football writer, is on the line live from Basel now. First of all, good morning to you, John.
Very good morning, Suzanne. Nice to be with you.
How was last night, first of all, John? Because not the night that I think many were anticipating. Liverpool beaten in the Europa League final by Sevilla, going down 3-1 and dominated really in that second half as well.
Yeah, they were. I was one of the ones maybe slightly guilty of being sucked into kind of the Klopp and Liverpool momentum, particularly as in previous rounds, done for Man United, Villarreal, Dortmund. And you just thought, oh, Liverpool, are going to go and win this. And they were strong favourites as well, weren't they? But that's disregarding the fact that in Unai Emery, they've got an outstanding coach, Sevilla, and that they're on course and indeed, completed three Europa League victories in a row. And you realise, looking at the second half, just what a fine team they are, really. I thought that Liverpool started well. I thought Sevilla actually coming into the game when Liverpool scored that amazing goal from Sturridge. And frankly, at that stage, I think if Liverpool had scored a second, they would have won the game. Mm. But the way that Sevilla then arrested that slide right at the start of the second half, after, 17, 18 seconds. And I just think then their game management was on a different level to Liverpool's in the second half. They were absolutely fantastic. I think they could have won more comfortably. They were brilliant. They were superb, rapier-like on the counter-attack. And they looked a top quality side. It's no wonder that they were rewriting the history books themselves.
John, Jurgen Klopp's bound to invest in the summer and get his own men in. What areas do you think Liverpool need to strengthen?
Well, left back, let's be honest. I do think that that's going to be one. I mean, there's lots to talk about. Leicester's Ben Chilwell, who's a youngster. I wonder whether they might even look to kind of completely shake that up and go for sort of a little bit more of an experienced head as well. I do think they need quality in there, a little bit more in midfield. I think they've got good players there. They've obviously got Sturridge, who's a quality player up front. They've got Coutinho and Firmino, excellent players. Chan, I'm a big admirer of. There's no doubt about it. They're looking centre halves as well, and I do think they'll get one in from Germany there, and I do think that there's a lot of talk that they might sign a sort of a backup keeper competition for Mignolet. I actually think Mignolet's had good times this season. He's obviously been at fault a few occasions, but I think Mignolet's a good goalkeeper for where Liverpool are right now, and so I do think though that the sort of any goalkeeper would say that it's really good to have competition to kind of push you on to another level and to kind of, sort of force your hand. So I do think there's several areas where Klopp will look to bring in his own players and maybe make some wholesale changes and strengthen the squad, which I thought was exposed a little bit sort of kind of in the final shake-up in Basel.
Yeah, definitely. No doubt about that. We've got a big weekend of football to look forward to with the FA Cup final and the first of England's series of friendlies in the lead-up to Euro 2016. Start with the Cup final, played at Wembley, obviously, on Saturday evening, 5:30 p.m. kick-off for this one. Crystal Palace 9-2 here with us at William Hill. John, the draw is 12-5 and Manchester United in the betting at 8-11. Those are the 90 minutes prices for this FA Cup final. And at Palace, it seems like they've been waiting for this for 3 or 4 months, because their form in the league dropped off a cliff at the back end of last season. And I know Alan Pardew in particular, you look how he sacrificed some league games for this FA Cup. He'll be expecting a big performance. And they've got some pacey players in that side. I'm looking forward to seeing Wilfred Zaha going back up against Manchester United, because the narrative in the lead up to this game is about Pardew telling Zaha that he's got to prove himself and prove that it was a mistake that Manchester United let him go. And Manchester United, all of a sudden, some of their youngsters coming to the fore. Marcus Rashford looks terrific, and Anthony Martial, in the last month or so, has been a revelation.
Yeah, he has. I mean, I think Martial has been absolutely fantastic. I mean, there's so much talk about how Martial might really sort of kind of be overpriced and be far too much money. But I think when you look at it, I think over the course of the season, he scored important goals. I think he's been a huge contributor to the United season. I think he's been one of the signings of the season. He scored important goals. I also think that people, there's always this clamour, isn't there, to play Martial through the middle. Why? I just think he's so good from the left.
Yeah.
You know, he's such an effective player. I think Rashford has surprised everyone with his progress. He scored, what, 7 goals? And, you know, it's a decent ratio at that. And I think he's got pace, he's got movement. I think United, they could cause problems for Palace and that. But here's just a little one from slightly left field, is that Fellaini, I think Fellaini's been out for 3 games. Wouldn't surprise me at all to see him go straight back into the lineup. He's been crucial and influential and scored goals in the last 2 rounds for United. And I do think that he provides a presence and a physical threat that teams like sort of kind of Crystal Palace might struggle to contain. And I think that if you look at it, when it's come to big games, Louis van Gaal's always put Fellaini in. And I think Fellaini might just be the surprise package and one to watch, certainly as a goal scorer in the betting shake-up. I do think he'll have a role to play in the final.
He's 9-2 to score any time. On Saturday, Marouane Fellaini. I think they need him as well because he adds a little bit of steel in that midfield. They've got intricate players that play with guile and skill in Ander Herrera and Juan Mata and so on and so forth. But they do seem to sometimes lack a little bit of bite, Manchester United.
They do, I think he provides that for United. I think it would be seen as a gamble to bring him straight back in after 3 games. But I have a funny feeling that he might just do that, Louis van Gaal. I think, there's obviously so much is made of Louis van Gaal's future that he needs to pick the right team. And I thought the team that beat Everton in the semi-final was exactly that. I think it had balance. I think that day was great. Yeah, Rooney deeper in midfield. He provides a good base for United, Martial in from the left and, you know, sort of Fellaini sort of attacking those spaces from midfield. And I do think it had a very, very nice feel to it, that lineup. And they went on to win the game. It surprises me, the odds for Palace, I must say, because that's a big outside price compared
to
United. And blimey, that's got to be tempting because I do feel that, you know, in a two-horse race, United, let's be honest here, are slightly, you know, unpredictable. And I just think that Palace, those sort of odds with the pace they've got, not necessarily up front through the middle, but I just think in the supporting areas with Zaha, as you say, and with Punch and Zaha, you know, what a story that would be. And doesn't football always work like that? But basically someone does something great against a former club. Zaha had a very unhappy time at Old Trafford. And I think, you know, if there was one player that would be, you know, kind of thrown up as a sort of fairy tale or sort of kind of, you know, seizing on football's hand of fate, then I think it would be Zaha trying to do something against his former club.
Wilfred Zaha is 9-2 to score any time. One final word on the cup final as well. You mentioned Louis van Gaal and the unpredictability of his future at Old Trafford. He's still got 1 year left on his contract. And the last time Manchester United met Crystal Palace in a cup final was back in 1990. And you can draw certain parallels because in the end, Lee Martin scored the winner in the FA Cup replay. But that saved Alex Ferguson's job. I wonder if Manchester United win on Saturday, that could allow Louis van Gaal to at least see out his contract.
Yeah, I do think there's a will at Man United, despite all the Mourinho talk, that basically they would like Louis van Gaal to succeed. What is success at United? I do think it is top four. It has to be the bare minimum. That's gone. But I do think in fifth position and the FA Cup at least gives them a decision to make. I think obviously losing the FA Cup final would be huge and a massive blow for Louis van Gaal. But at least I think with a trophy in the bag, then I do think that that would be significantly strengthen Louis van Gaal's hopes. Make no mistake about it, I do think Edward Wood wants to keep with Louis van Gaal. He appointed him, therefore, is, I think, to a degree, his reputation's on the line to back his own man. But it'll be very interesting. I think that Louis van Gaal's future really rests on this game. I know that Louis van Gaal has been very bullish in his messages and what he says to the media. He believes that he will still be there next season, come what may. But I do think there's still very much an element that basically that perhaps then he's not getting the best out of the players, not producing the performances and the excitement that United fans are used to down the years. And I do think that they will certainly have a decision to make if they lose that final.
What's your prediction?
I think that Man United will win 2-1. And I do actually think that Louis van Gaal, hope against hope, and kind of, you know, everything that's been said and written about Mourinho, will keep his job.
Manchester United to win the game 2-1, 8-1 here with William Hill. Let's talk about England now. John, I know you're in Basel at the moment, but you're heading to link up with the England squad very shortly.
Yes, I am. Yeah, I'm looking forward to, I was obviously at the squad announcement Monday, and that was extremely interesting. And also, I'm covering the game at Manchester City, England's first warm-up friendly with Turkey on Sunday. So that'll be very interesting indeed. Obviously, England boss Roy Hodgson, shorn of the players from Liverpool and Manchester United. They've been given extra a little bit of time. It'll be interesting also to see whether he sort of kind of calls upon Leicester players who've sort of been away on a sort of end-of-season reception. So that'll be interesting to see, really. And I do think it'll be very much a mix and match through the games. But I do tend to feel that by the time he's got everyone back and in contention for the final warm-up against Portugal at Wembley, of course, after the Australia game as well, then I think you'll see more like what we might see starting the Euros. But up until then, including Sunday, I think we might see a few experiments, which in its own way I think is exciting. But I do think that England on this road show, of course, on the road, will be looking for a win and an impressive performance.
I'll go through the odds very shortly for that game, England versus Turkey, John. But what did you make to the 26-man squad selected by Hodgson? Were there any shocks, in your opinion?
Not really. I do think that, obviously, a few players put up a sort of a good case towards the end of the season. I think it's surprising that he's taken seven defenders. That's a gamble. But I do think, in bearing in mind that maybe there's not an outstanding case for any defenders left out, I think Jagielka would be hugely disappointed. He's been so loyal for Hodgson. That's one. I think Walcott probably felt as if he did enough in qualifying, but he just hasn't been playing for Arsenal. So that counted against him. To my mind, I think he's named in his own head 23. And I think, though, he didn't name them. I think the three on standby are Delph, Drinkwater, and Rashford.
Right.
I think that the strikers will be present and correct unless one of them gets injured, and in that case, Rashford will step up, because I think Townsend is your only natural winger. He's your only really sort of kind of out and out wide man. People might point to Sterling, but Sterling's not your, you know, conventional winger. He's just not. He's a bit more than that. And I think also the doubts over Wilshere to a degree, and also Henderson. And I think those two others, Delph and Drinkwater, are covering bases. I think Roy even sort of kind of in conversation sort of said in the past he's asked players to go on standby. Not that this means this time they wouldn't be happy to be on standby, but it puts them in a difficult position. And some players in the past have even refused to be on standby. But I think if you're on standby, you basically attack the squad in a different way. I think if he hasn't put in a dividing line, then I do think everyone feels that they've got a position to sort of go for and attack. And I think also for Rashford, it's a great opportunity to be with the squad and learn for the future. But I do think that sort of dividing line, if you like, I think subconsciously is quite clear, and it is even more clear in Roy Hodgson's mind, even though he wouldn't say that to the players. And the players, I think, secretly know. Drinkwater has almost said as much, sort of kind of in some candid interviews this week. So I think the chances are very, very high that those three, Rashford, Drinkwater, Delph, will be trimmed unless there's injuries or they make a ridiculously good case in the meantime to go to the Euros. I think they'll be the ones that are trimmed.
That's very interesting because we have prices here on the William Hill website in the special section of the football page on players to make England's 23-man squad or not. And Danny Drinkwater, actually, odds against not to go now, a 7-4 Danny Drinkwater not to make the squad, which if what you're saying is correct, John, that's a massive price, 7-4 for Danny Drinkwater not to make the 23. The other two you mentioned are short. Fabian Delph is 1-9 not to make the squad, and Marcus Rashford is 1-5 not to make the squad. And as you mentioned, the way the squad's been set up with seven defenders, you'd think that two midfielders have to be chopped. And I was kind of surprised to even see Fabian Delph included in the 26-man squad, given that he's been on the fringes at Manchester City throughout the season.
Yeah, me too. I do think I expected to see Drinkwater. I know that Drinkwater in his head is kind of thinking he's a standby player. So that sounds a good price, by the way. But I think that Delph, the thing is with Roy Hodgson judges players and the squad on who's done it for him for England. And it's not just the club form that comes into mind. And I think that's something really worth bearing in mind. And I can see a logic in that. I mean, I remember not so long back, people sort of kind of, you know, crying out and saying, why does he keep on picking Welbeck? Well, the fact was that he kept on picking Welbeck because each and every time Welbeck played for England, he would score.
Yeah.
And no matter his club form, he was doing it. And I guess if you view that, if you were sort of viewed Roy Hodgson as a club manager, then it would be laughable, if the roles reversed, for him to continually drop a player who was kind of, you know, doing it for England but not for his club sort of thing, really. So I can understand that sort of the logic behind that. You do it for me, I carry on picking it. If you look at what Delph did, particularly in the early rounds of sort of the qualifiers, if you like, for England and the Euros, Delph was a nailed-on fixture and part of that team. He obviously made the decision to go to Man City and take a gamble, if you like. I don't personally think it's particularly worked out. I'm not sure that Delph is sort of quality enough to win the titles and kind of Champions Leagues with Man City. So I do actually think it doesn't surprise me that he's the rank outsider to kind of make the squad, if you like, and the very hot favourite to be chopped, because he just doesn't, you know, hasn't done enough. But I think it would have been unfair for Hodgson, Delph having done so much for him in the Euros qualifying campaign, not to have picked him at least for the 26.
And the thing with Welbeck, just to go back to what you're saying about Welbeck, is he fits into the system, I think, that Hodgson wants to play. And you mentioned that Andros Townsend now is that only really natural winger in the squad. Do you think that Hodgson's got to change his formation given the personnel available now?
Yes, I do. I really do. I think that Welbeck would have definitely started the Euros, and Welbeck would have allowed Hodgson to go 4-2-3-1 had he chosen to. Now, he's often used the diamond. He's often sometimes used a four in midfield, and basically, you know, Townsend obviously fits into that. But I do think, I look at the breakdown of the squad, and can he really do 4-2-3-1? Bearing in mind, then that means that kind of you've got you know, or even a 4-3-3, for example.
Yeah.
And can you really play Kane, who I think, for me, starts as England's first-choice centre-forward, with either then Vardy left or Rooney left, you know, Townsend right, for example, Sturridge. He hasn't, if you think about it, got that natural width in a forward player that Welbeck would have offered. That's the blow. And that's why, when Welbeck pulled out injured, he was always looking for his replacement to be a player who could play wide. And I think that's obviously explained the Townsend decision. And I think that's been a blow for Hodgson. I wonder whether Sterling, despite, you know, obviously not being an absolute nailed-on starter for City, might re-emerge into his thoughts as one of those sort of players to be a supporting role. It will be very interesting to see, because I personally don't think that Vardy works in that role. You pick Vardy through the middle, in my eyes, or not at all.
Yeah.
And again, I think that you could accommodate Vardy in a two up front and playing with a diamond. And I do think, indeed, that might be the way to go. But again, where does that leave Wayne Rooney? Does that leave him in midfield? You know, so many selection dilemmas. And I tell you what, the hardest decisions he's got is up front, because he's got a wealth of options as forward players, which is a great position to have.
Yeah, and maybe if Rooney is going to be classed as a midfielder in this squad, that allows Rashford to come into the reckoning as one of the four as well, if Wayne Rooney is going to be a definite midfielder. And that looks like it's going to be his natural position for Manchester United in the future. But he's got limited experience playing in midfield at the top level.
Yeah, he has. And look, I do think my impression is that Roy Hodgson very much still sees him as a forward, whether that's in a 10 or just behind or left. But I do think that Hodgson sees it differently. I think Rooney has been playing well for United in that midfield berth. It's just something that we're not, you know, sometimes we don't expect to see that. But I do think that sometimes, you know, we just have to change our perceptions of people. And I think Rooney is adapting to that position well for United. But I do think the Euros is too soon for Rooney. I don't think they've done enough work on it, if you like. So I think that decision will come further down the line.
Let's have a quick word on the friendly. England 1-2 to win it. The draw 3-1 and Turkey in the betting at 6-1. You'll be there, John. What kind of side do you expect to line up? Obviously, as you mentioned, no Liverpool or Manchester United players. Will Hodgson go with what he thinks could be a starting 11 come the Euros, or will he change things up and have a look at a few players on the fringes in this game?
No, I think he'll look at those players who he sort of kind of called up, give the likes of Townsend and particularly Drinkwater, you know, opportunities perhaps. And it'll be interesting to see how that develops, really. They're obviously in camp now. They're at St George's Park and he'll be able to have a look. But I think you'll see basically the players who are still slightly sweating on their places. And I think that sort of, you know, you might see the Spurs boys sort of come to the fore to try and sort of kind of lift their spirits after a disappointing end, to try and find a balance maybe. It'll be interesting to see whether he's experienced with Dyer and Wilshere. I think Wilshere will definitely play because he just needs game time more than anything else, having missed, you know, a large chunk of the season. So I do think it'll be an experimental side of sorts, and I think it'll probably, as the games and sort of time rolls on, he gets more players back, I think it will become more serious, but for now, a bit more experimental. So it wouldn't surprise me if England kind of experimented a bit and therefore lost a bit of intensity and perhaps don't get the result that they might want.
Do you think it could be a draw then, John?
Yeah, possibly. I do think it might even be something like a 1-1 or a 2-2. So if I had to sort of kind of, you know, back that, I do think I just fancy a scoring draw.
At the 1-1 draw, 15-2 here with William Hill. The 2-2 draw in the betting at 25-1. John, thank you for your company. Enjoy linking up with the England squad later, and hopefully we'll catch up throughout the Euros, because it's been a fun chat, this one. And remember, you can follow John on Twitter as well, at John Cross Mirror. Thank you again for your company, John.
Thanks, really enjoyed it. Anytime.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.